Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Issue on all the various socials. It's coaching season. Weird coaching season, right? Coordinators getting hired all over the place. Teams getting turned down. Nobody wants an interview with them. Cleveland Browns. Bill Belichick now not a Hall of Famer yet. God. We'll talk to Travis Thomas. You probably remember Travis Thomas. Of course you remember Travis Thomas. Now up in Boston with Nesson. We'll talk to him at 8:15. Rooster at 7:30. I'm sure he'll yell about something here. It's good to know at least we've got an offensive and defensive coordinator for the Commanders. It's you know, there's a certain point where you're just ready for the Band-Aid to get ripped off. So the story broke last night when Britt Giroli and I were doing the show. And let me tell you something. There is a rush. I was telling my wife this. It's like a drug. When breaking news happens in the middle of a live show, my brain just like activates with this. It's probably because it's already all over the place. So it was nice to have that happen. But now we've kind of settled down a little bit, had almost 24 hours to digest this to a point. And look, I'm just going to say something that I think a lot of people aren't willing to say. We don't actually know what Durante Jones is going to be as a defensive coordinator. Shh, don't tell anybody. I mean, we're guessing. We have ideas. We have theories coming from the system that he's coming from and the coaches that he's you know, coached with. Brian Flores, the most recent. I mean, Vance Joseph, Mike Zimmer, or other ones. But in reality, we don't know. And you've got an offensive coordinator that's a first-time coordinator. You've got a defensive coordinator that's a first-time coordinator. And there's a lot of risk with this. But there's also a chance for a big reward. And I get the fear that's there, right? There's a lot of worry around a team that's got two first-time coordinators. And you have a right to feel that way. If anybody goes into this without one, at least the tiny little just like pinch of, oh, I hope this works. Whether you're a fan, whether you're in the organization, whatever, you're not human if you're not feeling this way. But there is a chance that this actually works, that they made the right hires on both sides of the football. At least one, but there's a chance for both. And look, if we had a better resume from Adam Peters as a general manager, people would trust this situation a little more, right? I used to always say, in Rizzo we trust. I know I wasn't the only one in this city to do it, but I was one of them. I know that second rebuild didn't work, but there's a lot of other factors that were there for the Nats. But, you know, Mike Rizzo proved over his time he built a World Series champion. And he had the resume to say, hey, look, here's what I've done. I know what I'm doing, especially with some of the limitations that were placed on him at times. But it is hard to shake reputation, and it's not even about, like, Adam Peters doesn't have a bad reputation. You might be frustrated with him. Sure. But let's also remember that this is the same general manager that built a team accidentally stumbled into 12 wins. I mean, that's really what they weren't trying to win 12 games last year, but they did. But in reality, how much have we really seen with Adam Peters, with majority of this front office in these positions building a roster from scratch, essentially. That's really where this is, and building a coaching staff in a lot of ways from this, too. And whether it's fair or not, this is the reality that Adam Peters operates under. And I don't doubt for one second that he doesn't understand that, didn't know what it was going to be when he got there, and understood the responsibility that was there. Like, there's nobody that is, whether it's ownership, front office, whatever, that doesn't understand the magnitude of what it means to rebuilding the Commanders at all. But it still does mean very little without the results, right? We don't know what these coordinators are actually going to be. It's all based on potential, but it's the same thing as drafting anybody into the NFL, right? I mean, we could have all the expectations in the world about a guy that could be a great pass rusher, great quarterback. I mean, how many times do we throw around the word bust? Fair or not, it happens a lot. So, in a way, first-time offensive and defensive coordinators are similar to drafting somebody that you think's got really high-end potential, right? Sometimes it works out. Sometimes they're Chase Young, at least in Washington, right? So, there's at least a level of hope that's there. There's at least a thought that this could be something that matters. But in the end, none of it really matters if you don't have the actual talent, right? You can have great coaches if you don't have, like, you can have a great cook. I know it's a cliche, but right, Bill Parcells talked about this with the, you know, getting the right ingredients in the kitchen. I'm paraphrasing it and butchering it and doing a terrible job, but you get the idea. You can't cook a great meal if you don't have great ingredients, and you can do as much as possible to coach up talent and put players in a position to succeed, but if you don't actually have the talent on the field, it really doesn't matter. You can maximize lower-level talent, but you're still maximizing lower-level talent. Now, turnarounds happen in a year. See the Patriots, and look at where they are. I mean, in reality, that was the Commanders 2 years ago, and you can go right back to a similar situation. Easier schedule is going to help because they're not going to have a first-place schedule, or they didn't have a first-place schedule, second-place schedule, but still. You see this all the time in the NFL. So there's a very real possibility that things feel much more leveled out, where we can all go during the season to a point, maybe at the end of next season, where let's say they win 9 games. You're going to feel like the trajectory's there. You're going to feel like they're making the right progress. The arrow's pointing up. That's what you want to see. But as important of an offseason as this is for the front office and for the coaching staff and all of that, it's a lot of pieces that have to come in place. And the NFL's weird like that. You can turn things around and you can make it a very fast turnaround. You can also be stuck in NFL purgatory for years upon years upon years. A lot of times, though, that's because you have terrible ownership. And they don't have that anymore. But the reality is we don't know. We don't truly know, and I know a lot of people, and myself included, we don't like to say that in front of a microphone or in front of a camera, but we really don't know what Durante Jones is or what David Blau is as an offensive and defensive coordinator. It's just that simple. We're not there yet. But it's based on potential, and it's really no different than drafting somebody that you think could be a great edge rusher, which, God, this team desperately needs. All right, I talked to somebody actually up in Minnesota that covers the Vikings. What he had to say about Durante Jones as a defensive coordinator, plus Chris Russell, Rooster, at 7:30, Travis Thomas at 8:15, here on The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintained in the letter X.com/AI.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Nick Ashew on overtime. Talk to Travis Thomas, 8:15 up in Boston. Chris Russell, 7:30. I was texting back and forth earlier with someone that covers the Vikings up in Minnesota. Because the obvious answer is, I want to know more about why Sam Darnold's... No, I'm just kidding. That wasn't it. It's interesting. It's one thing for us to obviously have these conversations and speculate what we think. You know, this Durante Jones defensive coordinator hire could mean for the team, but it's another to just kind of hear from somebody that's watched it, that's watched the defense, that's seen where they are. Now, remember, this team was number two in passing yards allowed this past season. We know the Vikings defense was aggressive. They're ball hawks, and the Commanders had 8 total interceptions this past season. But from this media member that covers the Vikings, he did say, I would question whether Jones knows how to develop defensive backs because they didn't develop a single draft pick with him over the last 4 years. Every single guy that they drafted, first round, second round, third round, fourth rounders, all across the board here, that's not part of the quote, but he did say all cut basically after 2 years. Now, if that is something that is a concern with Durante Jones and developing young defensive backs, well, that's kind of a problem because that's what this team's got. And there's a chance they draft Caleb Downs 7th overall, and that's going to be a guy that you're going to need out there at safety to develop and grow. And listen, some of it's natural talent. Some of it is also, hey, maybe it's the fact that when you've got a coach that doesn't have as much of a say in certain things with the defense, even if you are coaching that position, there's only so much control that you actually have. Which, again, goes back to what I said last segment. We don't actually know. We can pretend, but we don't actually know. But that is something to at least keep in mind. They turned over that cornerback room a lot, did bring in a lot of veterans, and had some success there. So I think that's the one question to at least look at right now with a Durante Jones, is that a lot of the young corners they had did not develop in Minnesota while he was there at that position. So that can be all on him. There can be some on him. There can be a lot of different factors in there. But that's just something to keep in mind. Because the one spot, the one place that this Commanders defense, where you can at least sit there and go, not bad. It's not so bad. Now, granted, the comparisons are, it's the secondary. It's a couple of corners, especially Trey Amos. Got to stay healthy. Mikey Samuels still maybe move him to the outside. That could be a change that could help him out, but there's at least like something there. Again, it's not much. We're really not working with much right now with that, but that's at least a spot that this defense has that you need to accentuate, that you need to focus on. Now, look, this offseason could change so much, and I understand they got a lot of cap space and understand they got a lot of positions of need. And again, you can turn this thing around in a year, but you also have to then, if you go out and spend that money in free agency, like we've all seen this before, right? Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. You have to be able to identify who's going to fit in your system because there are plenty of talented players that may work in another system. They may be better in zone. They may be better in man-to-man. And you bring them in and you try to flip it, and that completely changes the entire dynamic of their game. And look, the corners that are available right now that are unrestricted free agents this offseason, there's some guys out there if they wanted to go that route too. You know? But like in reality, it takes quite a bit for this team to build that back up. And that's why it's good to know that they now have this set, that they have this position set, that they've got their defensive coordinator. But there are so many more factors that you add into this that you make a part of this offseason, that it almost means next to nothing until you see what's going out there on the field. Honestly, it's really what it is. All right, go out and sign Trayvon Diggs. Fine. He can get you interceptions, also can get beaten coverage, right? Jamel Dean is somebody in Tampa that might be a really great fit for them. That's somebody that you, if you're going to add to your secondary, right? I mean, we need a great 35-year-old Jimmy Ward. That's the one thing I've been telling people a lot about this free agent class. You got to be careful because we can say free agency is the answer. Go out and spend all this money you have. Careful. We've been down that road before. Because especially when you're talking about edge rushers, there's a lot of names out there that have some really great resumes, but it's that age, and that matters. And you start getting on that wrong side of 30 in the NFL, and that's when teams start to look the other way. Maybe Benjamin St. Juice, bring him back. He's going to be a free agent. It could also be somebody that you see that has potential to be like a Dorrance Armstrong, right? Say, okay, we're going to add to this defense with somebody that's going to be, you know, getting a few extra snaps, getting a few extra opportunities. And because they have that bigger role, all right, now we know it's going to be somebody that actually can fit, that can take on that workload. That might be it too. I got to be honest with you. I'm so ready for this offseason to actually start moving. We're down to 2 weeks of the Super Bowl. God, we're going to be talking about the same things for 2 weeks with these teams. You know what's going to happen. You know how all this media stuff, like, it's just drags on. I'll be honest with you too. I wish we didn't have 2 weeks between conference championships and the Super Bowl. Really, we don't. Do we really need that? We're just dragging it out. We really don't need it. Because at this point now, everybody else's team is eliminated. You want to watch the Super Bowl, but we want to get to the draft. You want to get to free agency. It's like, really, haven't we been in off-season mode for 8, 9, 10, at least over 2 months with the Commanders? Really, we've been looking forward to the offseason, looking ahead to the offseason for months now at this point. Just want to get to it. But this is where the NFL is, and this is the situation they have. Bill Belichick, you are not a Hall of Famer. Good God, this is insanity. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home. And with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
We'll talk to Chris Russell. 30 minutes or so. Maybe he'll be late. Not really sure. It's Chris Russell, so we never know what we're actually going to get from him. He'll have something to complain about, though. I can promise you that. Though I will say, if we're looking at what's going on right now, the shock that everybody's had, Bill Belichick not being a Hall of Famer on the first ballot is clearly, without a doubt, the biggest flex and the biggest petty move that you could have from voters for any Hall of Fame period. Let me just say this too, because baseball is this way. Basketball is different, where, you know, like the Basketball Hall of Fame, you can be a great college player, you be a great international player and coach. Like it's not as highly regarded. It's not pinkies out like, oh yes, you haven't deserved to be a first ballot Hall. We are the gatekeepers of the Hall of Fame. That's baseball. But we're seeing that at times too with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The difference is with baseball, you're dealing with, steroid era and then really petty writers. And, you know, baseball has a really kind of old grumpy attitude with a lot of things when it comes to change. And there is a different personality in baseball. We all know it. We all see it. It's the progressive commercial. We all see it. We all see it. But if we're looking at Bill Belichick not getting the 50 votes or the 40 of the 50 votes that he needs to be a Hall of Famer when his first year of eligibility, ESPN is saying that it's because of Spygate and Deflategate, and that Bill Polian has a role in this, and a voter that, this is from the ESPN report, a voter who spoke on the condition of anonymity said that Bill Polian, who is a Robert Kraft supporter, as everybody knows, he was also the former general manager of the Bills and the Colts. Oh, yeah, remember there was a big rivalry between Patriots, Colts. Let's not also forget that. So Bill Polian, big Robert Kraft guy, big rival of the Patriots during that dynasty, that he reportedly told voters that he thinks Belichick should, quote, wait a year before induction as penance for Spygate. I am so sick of these false gatekeepers that think that this is how, like, that you can take control of this, that you can create penance. Oh, yes, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I need to spend a year not being in the Hall of Fame because of, first off, every team has broken rules and every team has cheated. And I understand because of the Patriots' success and because of the Patriots' consistency as a contender for two decades in the dynasty that they were, there's a lot of jealousy. I have said this many, many times on here and everywhere else that I 100% will admit my full jealousy for all Patriots fans. I am jealous of every single one of them, because if the Commanders could have the history that the Patriots had, but you would call them cheaters, I would say absolutely. Now, was Spygate a problem? Yes, it was. Was Deflategate a problem? Is it really that much? Was it that much of a difference maker? Like, was it really that bad that it led to Bill Belichick winning 6 Super Bowls as a head coach and 2 as a defensive coordinator with the Giants? Are we serious here? Like, are we really going to look at this and think that that made the difference? Bill Belichick is the easiest first ballot Hall of Famer that you could possibly create. Period. If I ask ChatGPT right now, hey, ChatGPT, can you create the perfect first ballot Hall of Fame coach for me and build their resume? It would just copy and paste Bill Belichick's resume. That's it. That's all you need. This is people that have an ego, that think they're more important than them and have more power, and that their vote matters so much that they get to create the rules that don't actually exist. That they get to create a penance. That we will not allow Bill Belichick to be in on the first ballot. This is punishment. It's like when I was a kid and I'd get in trouble. Shocking, I had a big mouth and my dad would get pissed at me for that. He'd make me go stand in the corner with my nose against the wall. Which actually I think about now as an adult is pretty damn brilliant. Just, you just stand there. Like, it's pure torture. Your nose against the wall. Just like, yep. Can I be done yet? Nope, not done yet. Like that was me. That's what this feels like. Hey, Bill Belichick, go stand with your nose against the wall for a year, and we'll see if you can get out of timeout in a year. Grow up. Bill Belichick won 8 Super Bowls, 6 as a head coach. That is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now, in the end, does it take away from any of Bill Belichick's career? Does it take away from anything he accomplished? Of course not. Because any sane person is going to look at this and say, you're an absolute moron and you deserve to have your vote taken away. And I get it. There's going to be, well, you know, there's cheating and there. Go. Every team bends the rules. The Patriots just, sure, did they maybe do it more? Maybe. Did they get caught more? Sure. Was it more polarizing because it was the Patriots? Absolutely. I think the website still exists. YourTeamCheats.com. Let me just look this up real quick. This was a website that used to list, and it's gone now, which is brutal. That used to be a website that listed everything that a team, like every rule that an NFL team broke. Every single team had all kinds of violations and things that they, rules they broke, all of it. Voters look for reasons to make a point with these Hall of Fames because it gives them a sense of power. It gives them a sense of entitlement. It gives them a sense of feeling like they're more worthy. Oh, yes, we are the gatekeepers of the Hall of Fame. Ego gets in the way all the time with this. We're getting the point now where a lot of this stuff is just so watered down that it means nothing. We've already watered down the value of the calling somebody a Pro Bowler, clearly. And it feels like at this point now we're doing that with first ballot Hall of Famer. At this point, can we just let AI do the voting? Like, there's no emotion involved with this. Because this is emotion. There is a jealousy. There is a hatred to Bill Belichick. When people are successful, there is jealousy. Plain and simple. What did Nas say? When you're on top, there's envy? Yeah, there's envy. With Bill Belichick and the Patriots and everything they accomplished. There's arrogance. There's this self-importance. And I know baseball is even worse than this. And this is so massively polarizing. But I'm sorry. This is not steroid-era baseball, which, by the way, on a side note, everybody that tested positive for steroids, with all of the guys that were using steroids in baseball in that prime era, all they did was level the playing field because everybody was doing it. Not to sound like a kid in high school, hey, everybody's doing it. But if we're being honest with ourselves, it was an even playing field because literally everybody was doing it. How much easier do you want this to be? Bill Belichick, up for the Hall of Fame. Yep. Let's look at that resume. This is exhausting. It's exhausting when you see stuff like this, when you see stories like this, because you sit back and you just go, you've watered down the product. You've taken away the value of what it means to be not just a Hall of Famer, but there is a level of, like, there is a crown that is put on someone's head when they are a first ballot Hall of Famer, because what it means is, there are no doubts, there are no questions to the level of success that they had in their career. And I'm sorry, Deflategate and Spygate aren't enough to take that away. That didn't win Bill Belichick all 6 of his Super Bowls as a head coach. I'm sorry, it just didn't. It's exhausting. It's exhausting when we have stuff like this happen. You get to the point where you just look and you think to yourself, does this even matter anymore? Really? Does it even matter anymore? Because we don't have coordinators in the Hall of Fame. I still argue that you should have great offensive or defensive coordinators in the Hall of Fame. Maybe they weren't a great head coach, but they were a great coordinator. You know, right? I mean, like, we've again, I'll be the one that says it like everybody else. B. Mitch should be in the Hall of Fame. Brian Mitchell should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, I know that is very common for everybody and all of us, whether we've worked with him or we've been, like, I've told him this to his face, and I'll say, like, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Everybody says it. He had a massive impact on the game. No, maybe not first ballot, but at this point now, we've waited long enough for that. But you get to this point where that's, and I don't want to hear, well, in baseball, they talk about, the type of person you were, and there's rules there for the type of integrity for the game, and okay, stop. It's just not that important. Were they a good baseball player? Was it a great head coach? Were they a great football player? Stop overthinking this. If we decided to vote every single athlete in or out of the Hall of Fame because of the type of person they were, spoiler alert, there's a lot more that wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. We need to stop overthinking this. This is exhausting, and it just rings so hollow, and it's this political campaigning behind the scenes. And I'm with Danny. He talked about this earlier. And his conspiracy theory was that it was Robert Kraft as a part of it, too, because he's getting... And all this makes sense. It's all of this behind the scenes. Was Bill Belichick probably a pain in the ass? Yes. Do a lot of his players also love him and talk about how funny he actually was away from the camera? Yeah. Who cares? Like, really? It's like not wanting to use a product because you don't like the billionaire. Well, guess what? That's going to be a lot. We don't have a lot of choices anymore. Most things are owned by a lot of billionaires, and if you don't like it, you're limited in your choices. So you get to this certain point where you just got to look around and say, all right, what? Don't overthink this. Was Bill Belichick the greatest football coach we've ever seen in the NFL? Yes. Period. That's it. First ballot Hall of Fame. Stop overthinking this. Stop thinking that you're so important that you get to be the gatekeeper here that says, well, we get to put... No, nobody asked you. Nobody asked you as a Hall of Fame voter to punish Bill Belichick. Nobody was saying this is an opportunity. There's no rules in the, you know, in the NFL that say, well, you know, we're going to have to sacrifice a year. You're going to wait a year to get in there. This is dumb, unwritten rules like you have in baseball, and they are exhausting. And this is a similar situation here where it feels like baseball voters came up to NFL pro football voters and they were like, hey, so we got an idea. Here's what I think you guys should, hold him out for a year. Yeah. You don't know the power you have. You're not that important. It's just not. This is unbelievable. And it's so stupid. It just feels so petty and dumb and childish. Really, that's what it is. That Bill Polian's also going to step in there and he should wait a year as penance. This is classic politics. You know how sliming most politicians are? This is a similar situation. The backdoor deals that are going on. Give me a break. Bill Belichick won 8 Super Bowls, 6 of them as a head coach. End of story. First ballot Hall of Famer. Unbelievable. What a former NFL defensive back had to say about the new Commanders defensive coordinator. Next, Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on the Fan. We'll talk to Chris Russell in about 10 minutes. So last night, Britt Giroli and I on this show had Nick Ferguson on, former safety for the Broncos, and the original plan was to figure out what the hell happened with the Broncos in that season. Look ahead to the Super Bowl. And then the Durante Jones news broke. So it was later in the show. He had a lot of really, really good stuff to say. He's great at breaking down film. He's just great at really giving you a defensive player's perspective on things. So because that was so late in the show last night, I want to give you what he had to say about Durante Jones and the Commanders in that defense specifically, because I think it's really, really important to hear some of the things that he had to say about this. Here's what Nick had to say. Oh, boy, we got a lot of moving parts tonight. Britt Giroli, Nick Ashew on overtime. And the Commanders finally making a decision. Durante Jones, hired from the Vikings and will now be the defensive coordinator for the Commanders, handled their secondary. Secondary, by the way, number 2 in passing yards allowed this past season. So it's you're getting a Brian Flores disciple in Durante Jones, who also was worked on a Mike Zimmer staff and Vance Joseph staff. So certainly a lot of coaching knowledge that he soaked up. He will be Durante Jones, the new defensive coordinator for the Commanders, as that news just broke. And conveniently enough, Nick Ferguson, former Broncos safety, jumps on with us now, host of the Nick Ferg Show on YouTube, at @NickFerguson_25 on all of the socials. Man, this timing couldn't be any better for you, my friend, because the Commanders just hired their new defensive coordinator, and I wanted to talk to you about the Super Bowl and the Broncos, and we'll get to that. But listen, from your perspective as a former defensive back, when a team, you know, like, how just... I guess the best way to put this is, how important is it from your perspective as a player when a coordinator comes in and you know, like, their philosophy is going to affect everybody, clearly including you, with how that defense is going to play?
Well, it comes back to teaching. And, you know, that's the first thing. When you look at the word coach in the dictionary, that should be the first word to describe it, teaching. And there's a lot of individuals who can play armchair Monday morning quarterback, but they can't teach. So it's going to be important for Coach Jones to be able to come in to Washington and be able to teach the guys his new philosophy, and then they just have to go out there and they definitely have to execute. Now, it's going to be a little different, especially when you have a new DC coming in. There's a lot of terminology, a lot of verbiage that you have to go through, try to not memorize, but understand where you can go out and execute. So I'm interested to see how things kind of work out with Coach Quinn and Coach Jones. And you said it, you know, during the introduction. You know, Coach Jones comes from, you know, a long line of guys who've been really productive from a DC standpoint, but now it is his job to now fix the Washington Commanders defense, and it's going to be interesting to see how well he can do it in his first year.
Nick, how much of a concern would it be for you as a player to have a coordinator who hasn't pulled plays in the NFL, and how much, you know, stepping back, putting your media hat on, we've now got an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator who both are rookies in that regard, and this is a huge season for Dan Quinn after such a failure this past year. How do you see that kind of playing out, and do you think there'll be extra pressure on them to maybe get out to a really good start?
Well, yeah, there's always pressure when you're coming in as a coach, where from a coordinator standpoint, where you haven't called plays before. But we all know this. We've either heard these stories or we've had someone say it to us ourselves. When you go to apply for a job and someone tells you, well, you don't have experience. And it's like, well, hell, if you don't give me the experience that I need, I won't have it. So with Dan Quinn being there and understanding what he wants to do and his vision for this team, you have to figure that Coach Jones went in there and he had to really sell himself. You know, what are you going to do with the defense this year that wasn't done last year? And the biggest part of it is, can you connect with the players? That's the whole buy-in. I mean, the X's and O's are what they are. But is, can you get players to buy into your system, buy into your culture? But more importantly, can you connect with those players? And that's the thing that helped propel Coach Quinn to being hired in the NFL not once but twice as a head coach. His ability to connect with the players, his ability to relate to the players, because – we all know things are going to get tough. Things are not always going to go the way that you plan. But at the end of the day, can you connect with those players and can you get them aligned to go out there and try to execute every time they go on the field?
Talking to former Broncos safety Nick Ferguson here on Overtime. Durante Jones just named the Commanders defensive coordinator, and that news breaking a few minutes ago. You know, you've at least watched the Commanders from afar, and it's this year versus last year, man. Like, it's clearly night and day. I know there were injuries. There was a lot of things, but the defense obviously has a million things that they need to address. When you look at just this Commanders defense as a whole and what you saw this year and the games you watched and the things that were going on, there were basics like, man, they just couldn't tackle, Nick. Like, just basic stuff was not happening. When you see stuff like that with any defense, whether it's the Commanders or everybody else, you watch guys that are struggling with some of the fundamentals, what goes through your mind? Is that like a coaching thing? Is that a discipline thing? What is that?
Well, first and foremost, as a former guy that coached defense and played defense in the league, it pisses me the hell off because it's your job is really simple. Like, for a wide receiver, run route, beat man coverage, and catch the damn ball. From a defensive standpoint, can you rush the passer? How many pass rush moves do you have? If you're a linebacker, can you get downhill, hit shed, and be physical at the point of contact? And also, too, if I'm asking you to drop in coverage, can you hit your landing zone and then kind of collect data and actually make a play? If you're a guy in the secondary and you're playing the safety position, can I count on you to play the right defense, be at the right depth, do exactly what you are supposed to do? I don't want you, you know, chasing cars like you are a squirrel or something or a dog. No, I want you to be able to understand coverage and be able to take what we teach you in the classroom out to the field and be able to execute it. For me, I think it is a combination of coaching a little, but also players. You have to want to do your job. And one of the coaching terms that you hear a lot is, I need players who are going to strain. And what I mean by that is, are you going to strain to make a play? Because when you design things from a coordinator standpoint, you put guys in position. And just saying, well, I'm a corner, I held outside leverage, nothing got outside of me in cover two, I did my job. Oh, no. you need to do more than that. I need you to go the extra mile. I need you to be a game wrecker. I need you to be an impact player. And you just can't do that just by saying, coach, I did my job. No, you have to be willing at some point to even sacrifice your own self for the betterment of the team. But watching guys just miss tackles and just not be fundamentally sound, it is frustrating.
All right, Nick, I'm switching gears, and this might be too soon. You might be upset still, but I got to ask you about that.
All right, and that was Nick Ferguson, former Broncos safety, on the show late last night with us after the news broke. So, I think it was, one, kind of made me wish they almost hired Nick Ferguson. Well, he got pissed off the Commanders couldn't make any tackles, right? Basic stuff. But, you know, this is it. This is somebody now that's coming from a smaller role to a bigger role, and there's a lot of stuff that you hope is going to translate from that Brian Flores system, but there's no guarantees that that's actually going to be the case. So good stuff from Nick Ferguson. Want to get at least a little bit in there because he was on much later last night. Chris Russell, we are going to go off the rails next with Rooster here on The Fan. Nick Ashew on The Fan. Still seeing, it's just all over social media, the Bill Belichick thing. I get it. I mean, this is just so, like, honestly, there's no profound way to describe it. It's dumb. It's just dumb. And it's petty. And to hear that Bill Polian was reportedly a part of this, like, let's make him wait a year. Grow up. All of you grow up. This is so dumb. It's like children voting. I'm not going to vote for him for class president because he cheated on a test and we're going to make him wait. Grow up. This is like, come on, give me a, like, it's so far beyond. Yes, Bill Belichick already paid the price, right? Spygate and the suspensions and the punt. The NFL already spoke and said, this is the price you're going to pay. If you're Catholic, this is your three Hail Marys and your, that's it, you know? He's already done it. He went to confession. I don't know if he really confessed with it, but, like, we're past that now. Chris Russell's on here. This Belichick thing is so dumb, man. Like, the fact that Bill Belichick, with 6 Super Bowls as a head coach and 2 as a defensive coordinator, isn't a first-ballot Hall of Famer because people are being petty. It's just so dumb.
Yeah. Don't forget the 3 Super Bowl losses as well and the 2 Super Bowl wins as defensive coordinator of the Giants and, you know, everything. I'm right there with you, obviously. Listen, I understand that there is questions and, you know, shrouded mystery over Spygate and Deflategate and this gate and that gate. How about Bill Belpolian, who apparently led the charge, apparently, because this sounds like Bill, a crabby old curmudgeon. How about Bill Belpolian building a damn football team in Indianapolis to beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady instead of building just a supercharged offense where 80% of your salary cap for a couple of years is surrounding Peyton Manning instead of the bad special teams and the bad defense that he built? How about that? Instead of we worry about Bill Belichick serving penance.
It has those echoes of baseball. And, you know, I mean, baseball is so much worse with this, with the whole, like, the steroids are obviously a separate issue, though. My thing is, Chris, is that, like, everybody was doing steroids during the steroid era, so really it was, like, pretty much an even playing field if you really want to think about it. But this just, the whole idea that you're going to be a gatekeeper in this sense, it's one thing if people legitimately saw, you know, a head coach that won a Super Bowl but had a bunch of losses. Like, there was legit football and resume reasons to say no, not on the first ballot. There is nobody that has a better resume as a head coach than Bill Belichick. And I'm sorry,
yeah.
Spygate and Deflategate just isn't enough. There are far too many other teams that also have done plenty of this stuff behind the scenes, too.
Yeah, I'm with you. And listen, I don't know why I draw a different line between baseball, steroids, and this, but I with you, like Spygate and Deflategate, whatever they were, you know, like, there was no absolute conclusive proof that they helped the Patriots, right? I mean, we can all think, we can all, you know, kind of envision or whatever. We know that steroids helped Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Jose Canseco. We know that. That is almost not in question. So I guess that's the line that I draw between that comparison and, you know, Bill and the Patriots. I think this is also, they don't like Bill, you know, mm-hmm. They don't like Bill, the person. They don't like what Bill has become down in North Carolina with, you know, a 24-year-old bimbo. You know, they don't like Bill. You know, they don't like Bill giving them crappy answers. They don't like Bill messing with them, for lack of a better term, in press conferences, and they're easily influenceable, right? I mean, if Bill Polian calls you and says, listen, fill in the blank, I really need you to hear me out here. You know, look, we're not going to keep Bill Belichick out forever. We're just going to do this as a sign of unity in year one. I feel strongly about this. I've always been good to you. I've given you stories. I've helped you. Can you do me a solid? And that's how I think this happened.
And you're not crazy. This is not one of your craziest things that you've ever said by far, because I agree with you. This is what the report is that Bill Polian was going around doing this. And so here's my thing at this point, Rooster, is that AI's taken over everything else. At this point, let's just let ChatGPT vote for whoever gets in the Hall of Fame and stop letting human emotion get involved with this. Because if this is going to be a thing, this is so stupid. So, yeah, I'm exhausted with these narratives of not letting somebody in a Hall of Fame for anything other than that. It waters down the Hall of Fame. It's like watering down the Pro Bowl now, where Pro Bowler means nothing anymore because they've watered it down. In some ways, this waters down the concept of, like, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and you know, in baseball, you know, and like, I know not everybody's a big baseball fan, you know, around here. I mean, baseball, the first ballot Hall of Fame thing means a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it means as much in football as it does in baseball. Okay, I'll say that. But so whatever this means is whatever this means. I will say this, you know, maybe the other alternative theory is maybe Bill Polian made some calls. Maybe Robert Kraft made some calls. You know, hey, man, if I get in, I'd really like not to have to make it awkward and kind of have all this acrimony and all this stuff with Bill. Can you, you know, do me? I could see that. I could absolutely see that, right? So we don't know exactly what happened here, you know, but I can work with a couple of theories and think that it combined into a coordinated attack against Bill Belichick. And that's unfortunate. He'll get in probably next year, after Kraft maybe gets in this year, or I don't know how that'll work. I guess that's not official yet or whatever. We'll see. You know, here's the thing that I know, like you, I think you said at the beginning, there is not one single football reason why Bill Belichick is not in the Hall of Fame, like, immediately. So, you know, I guess this is a game of human emotions, and people have vendettas and grudges.
It's exhausting. Talking to Chris Russell, host of The Chris Russell Show on the Team 980, 1 to 4 every day. I know you got to it on your show, Durante Jones, the hire. I'll just tell you this. So I talked to somebody actually that covers the Vikings up in Minneapolis, and this is obviously one person's opinion, but this is sort of echoing what's going on. The one negative that he had about Durante Jones, Chris, is that they didn't really, since he was obviously in charge of the defensive backs, they had a lot of issues with young corners not developing and basically getting cut after 2 years, which does concern me a little bit, because this is somebody that is coming into an organization that has a couple of young corners that they would certainly like to see grow and get better.
You know, that's absolutely a great point. And I was going to kind of dig into that history tonight, because I was kind of thinking, wondering the same thing. The one thing I would say is, you know, maybe a little unfair when we consider, you know, that if you remember that awful tragedy in Maryland with the former Chirp cornerback that was like a third round pick that got killed in his rookie training camp in a car race dragging incident or whatever the case was, you know, I'm sure that, you know, obviously hurt, some other things, you know, injuries, what have you, go awry. As usual, I think we put way too much on coaches and expect everybody to develop into a Pro Bowler or a Hall of Famer or a first teamer or whatever. And that's just not the way it works, right? So I will say this. There are always concerns and always things you can look at that a coach can do better, that a coach can maybe be more effective with. And you're absolutely right to tie it in with, you know, I mean, I don't figure Marshawn Lattimore is going to be obviously on the roster, but Mikey Sanders still and Trey Amos are. You know, can one stay on the field? Amos, can one figure out a position? Quan Martin is like the biggest mystery to me that he's got to unlock from an individual player perspective. And then how do they marry? How does he as a coordinator marry the blitz and the aggressive attack and the disguise and the front looks with the coverage on the back end so that guys aren't confused? Because as we know, And we've all talked about how many times was communication, bad eyes, bad everything. I mean, how much was that blamed for everything, especially early in the year? And it was, and it was attributed to a lot of things, and they had to simplify and resimplify and get conservative as the injuries built up and resimplify. So are we dealing with low football IQ players? Are we dealing with what are we dealing with here? So these are all the things that I think we're all going to be paying attention to, and certainly they're not going to be perfect, Nick, but you hope that whatever improvements in personnel and whatever improvements in coordination and scheme are present, that at least it gets them, I don't know, to the middle of the pack, for crying out loud.
I know. I've watched these defenses in the playoffs, Rooster, and it's just some of them I'm just like, God, if they could be half of the Broncos' defense,
yeah,
they could be half of the Texans. And I know that takes a lot to build, and you're going to have to get – I mean, they need help at literally every position, so it's basically a rebuild from scratch. Are you in the boat of worried that they have two first-time coordinators, or are you in the boat of, hey, this also could really work out because these are two fresh minds looking at this team?
I mean, look, that's the positive way of looking at it. You know me. I'm generally pretty glasses three quarters empty kind of guy.
Yep, usually that's you. Yeah, sometimes it's fully empty, actually, for you.
So I would say, you know, I'm more worried about it than I probably should be. But I would say this. If you were going to give me a first-time play caller on the NFL level, and that's important because he did call plays at LSU, at Bowie State, what have you. He has been the passing game coordinator in Minnesota, all of that. If you were going to give this to me, I would have preferred this, Durante Jones, over, Carl Scott, even with Seattle, right, who was interviewed and the defensive line coach and whatever. I would have preferred this from a timing standpoint. Durante Jones now has a two-week timing advantage over Carl Scott, just to use them, or even Terrell Austin, right? Terrell Austin's very experienced. Was there anything about Terrell Austin, who they interviewed, I guess, on Thursday of Pittsburgh, anything that made you go, yeah, okay, that's the answer to all my problems? I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure things just didn't work out this year for Pittsburgh, for the most part, defensively. But was there anything that made you go, oh, Terrell Austin? No. So I would say on the first-time guys, I liked him. And here's the thing. What was interesting is I called out the organization for not interviewing him and for not interviewing Christian Parker, the dude that went from Philadelphia to Dallas, the 34-year-old now defensive coordinator of the Cowboys, last Wednesday after Flores turned them down. I said, why aren't they talking to these guys? You know, if you want what Vic Fangio is doing in Philadelphia, if you want Brian Flores and what he's doing in Minnesota, talk to those guys, right? Why aren't they doing that? And then 2 days later, we find out they, of course, didn't talk to Parker, the kid that went from Philadelphia to Dallas. But 2 days later, we find out that they're going to interview Durante Jones, and who's not a kid, by the way. He, you know, whatever he lacks in NFL play calling experience, he's 47 and he's been everywhere, right? So that's another way I can talk myself into the whole first time NFL play caller thing, is that he's 47, not 27 or 29 or 31 or something like that.
Rooster, how many times did you scream obscenities at the snow over the last few days?
A lot. You know what was my favorite was digging out here in South Riding, and, you know, you get everything unshoveled, right? You get it all clear. First of all, they only plow like one lane through the street, right? So they're not plowing right up against the edge of your driveway. So you've got to unplow or unshovel or undig yourself out of not only your driveway and your sidewalk and in between your cars, but you've also got to do halfway out in the street. And then as soon as you get done with that, what happens, Nick? The plow come through and they plow you in again, this time with hard compacted snow and ice, which I spent an hour and a half shoveling and breaking up yesterday. So to say that I wasn't as annoyed at construction cranes or as I am at construction cranes. I wasn't as annoyed as I am at terrible, reckless, ruthless drivers, but I was pretty mad.
I would have loved to have had a camera on you throughout this entire process, because I think it would have been entertaining. But then again, I would not blame you, because I was doing the same thing. I mean, there was more ice that I'm chopping up than I've ever seen in my life. Driveway was an ice rink. I mean, there was just no, I was walking on top of snow It was encased in ice like it was laminated. I've never seen anything like this before.
Well, and I've seen the castle that you live in. And, you know, I understand that good help is hard to find these days. So I apologize that, you know, you weren't able to pay enough people to come and bail you out.
I did that myself, sir. I used a snowblower, but I did that myself.
Oh, the snowblower. Yeah. Must be nice to have that Hollywood ass you budget.
No. Hey, let me tell you something.
Game Day Garage is expanding, baby, and Ashu's got the snowblower.
Well, it is expanding, as you can see. More announcements coming tomorrow, actually, for Game Day Garage. Yeah. Oh, well, more to come, my friend. There's a lot coming down the pipe. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Attaboy. Good to talk to you. Thank you, Pat.
Yeah. And listen, it's one of the few times that I can agree with Rooster. This snow. Oh, yeah, we got more coming, by the way. Allegedly more coming. We'll see how much that is. I'm at the point in my life now where I just say, you know what, man, we're spring. And if that groundhog tells us 6 more weeks of winter, I'm going to punt that thing like Baxter. I know that. I'm going to go all the way up to wherever it is in Pennsylvania. I'm going to punt it.
At that point, Nick, I don't want the snow.
I'm over it. It's like, and I know you're only 16, Wesley, but, you know, I know you got out of middle school today, so at least
that's
you didn't
the
have
thing.
To go.
Once you're out of elementary school, like myself, yesterday I graduated elementary school, you don't want the snow. You don't have snow days anymore. You got to go to work.
You have to do stuff. And I know you, you've been in a hotel.
Yes.
So, which,
I have been.
You know, they put you in a nice hotel, though. It was good.
They did.
Not like you're, you know, they took care of you.
They did.
Did you get some wings last night?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
They were good.
Good for you. What kind of wings?
Buffalo wings with some fries.
Boom.
Had a Dr. Pepper.
There you go. Went to Walter's right up the road.
You're right. Yep. Right next to Centerfield Gate. That's Park.
It's a good spot, man. Good place to watch games. I've been there quite a bit. Big fan. All right. The Bills have their head coach, but not the Browns. Are they ever going to get a head coach? If you feel bad about what happened to the Commanders this year, just look at what the Cleveland Browns are still doing. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Ashew on all the socials. Is TikTok still broken? Yeah. TikTok's going to turn into the next Twitter. New ownership, and then it just dies. I miss the old Twitter. Wesley, do you miss the old Twitter? I miss the old Twitter. Am I the only one? I feel like other people do too, right?
Of course I miss the old Twitter.
All right, good. Just making sure. Now Threads is trying to do it.
I don't call it that.
Threads is trying to go that route. It's just never going to be the same. It's just not. Well, first off, I'm just so sick of the whole, like, you have to pay for any sort of engagement with people. Like, not even paying. Everybody now just pays for fake stuff. Like, I get it. TikTok's like, hey, here's pay $20 and get 18,000 views. It's like, well, what's the point? Like,
oh, yeah. I saw that a couple months ago.
That used to be a thing that everybody, like, frowned upon. It was like, don't buy this and buy that. And now it's just so, like, why does it matter? None of this matters. Like, at this point now, views on social media, because you can buy them, are about as watered down as being a Pro Bowler in the NFL. That's where we are. it just feels
slight
broken.
Slight shot at Shadur Sanders.
Yeah, Shador's a Pro Bowler. And listen, he had an okay year, but I mean, come on, we're throwing around Pro Bowler here. That's the whole replacement thing. It's not even a real game. Like, at this point, just let. It's just not. It's flag football and a bunch of games.
Do you watch
an
it?
Event. Do I watch it? No.
Yeah.
No. But the clips are great for social media, so I'll watch them on probably Instagram because TikTok's broken. So,
and that's why Sanders is going, and not Trevor Lawrence.
And you know what? You ain't wrong. That's really what it comes down to, is it gets people talking about it, which shows all the more reason why that it's completely fake. It means nothing anymore. Just like first ballot Hall of Famer in the NFL. I know it means more in baseball, but geez. Elijah's in D.C. He's been sitting for a while. What's up, Elijah?
Nick, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I just want to talk about the new defensive coordinator signing. I really like the signing. I was hoping we could get one of those guys from that nucleus, either Houston or the Vikings. And for me, it feels like this is – I'm not an expert, but it feels like a good indicator that we could potentially get Caleb Downs with a guy who understands the pass defense and for the past game, they used to play a lot of hot quarters, a lot of 5-7 man fronts. And say, for instance, you double dip. What if they got like Brisker, who's an unrestricted free agent from the Bears, mm-hmm. and then paired him with a guy like Caleb Downs? And what that would do, I think that would allow them to be able to have more cushion on the back end and rotate into certain looks like he likes to do. I think that they would immediately upgrade the ability to disguise looks because he's going to speed up the entire defense, how they call, which means those back-end guys should just look faster and they should look better naturally. And that's what I'm hoping that they could do. That's like a dream thing for me. If they could get both of those guys, say, for instance, Caleb goes into a single look or something, or maybe they rotate where Brisket can go downhill and Caleb can get hold them down on the back end, and then you can go and get a pass rusher. So I'm kind of leaning towards him because at this time the defense has too many holes for me to just get a pass rusher to trust. I still think if you go get an elite pass rusher, the rest of the team behind him still isn't fast enough to still make that much of a difference. So if I think they go the other way and then go back around and get you a pass rush in the later rounds, you might be able to get more bang and more pop for your buck on the defense. And I think that might get us in a good situation and just increasing the game speed because I want to still unlock Frankie Louvu. And I think of that back end, what you want to have is Frankie be able to rush forward and then those back end guys cover that slant right behind him so he don't feel like he has to go back and forth. I just want to be able to free up the guys that we have while upgrading the talent around to get that game speed together. And I think we'll just be a better squad.
Great stuff, Elijah. Appreciate it. And, yeah, I'm a big fan of Caleb Downs, too. And if Caleb Downs falls to them at 7 and David Bailey's on the board, though, too, it's going to be tough because I'd love to see David Bailey coming off the edge. He's an edge out of Texas Tech. You haven't watched him. Dude's a monster. I mean, he would be great. And the one thing to keep in mind with these Brian Flores, if they're – having a similar Brian Flores scheme, you got to have really versatile players to kind of run that. That's a big thing, and you know it's a lot more. It's a scheme that's a lot more zone, so corners aren't really necessarily asked to do as much there in the secondary. So you want guys that are versatile. You want guys that are obviously going to fit. That's a big thing, right? You have to have players that are going to fit in the system that you're going to run, which does dictate in a lot of ways how the draft is going to go. But if you have somebody that's just talented like Caleb Williams, Caleb Downs, doesn't even matter. Caleb Williams is not on the board. He's in Chicago, in case you're wondering. So we know how they love to blitz safeties, though, too. I mean, Brian Flores just blitzes everybody. So if you're going to get a similar look, you're going to get a similar idea. There's certainly some guys that could be on the board at number 7 for the Commanders. Nick Ashew on The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.